Mr. Stoddard, sir, welcome to the Arizona Board of Executive Primacy. And before we get started, may I have your name and ADC number, sir?
Is it number 560-0090?
Thank you, Mr. Baptiste. This is the Arizona Board of Executive Primacy, and we welcome you this morning. And as you can see, there are three board members participating in your hearing this morning. And they are, to my right, which would be to your left, is the Honorable Mr. Louis Kiwanis. On the other side of myself is the Honorable Mr. David Neal. And my name is C.T. Wright. I'm board chair, and I'm going to serve as your panel lead this morning, sir. Based on the information that I see, and I'm just going to cite some information, and if I have any that's incorrect or that you feel need to be changed or amended, please feel free to tell me, because I'm looking at information that's been presented to me and notes that I've taken, and sometimes we get off base just a little bit. Based on information that I see, you have been certified by the Department of Corrections for a 412B-411 hearing this morning. That is to be considered for paroling you to your next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge. And that's the reason that we're talking with you today, which means that you are not scheduled to leave the institution as of this moment, but you may be, the board might have the opportunity to move you to the next consecutive sentence, sir. Based on information that I observed, that you had three offenses, but one, the first one, has already expired, and that would have been burglary, the first degree, so we don't need to think about that one anymore. According to what I observed, you're currently serving one for armed robbery, and that one will be had its beginning, according to the information we have, so this began back on May 11, 1989, and you became parole eligible on that one on May 11, 2014. And that's a life sentence, and if you're paroled to your next consecutive sentence, that would be for dangerous drugs, and that is a two-year sentence. Is that your understanding? Is that what you're serving, sir?
Yes.
Okay, sir.
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm glad to know that so far we're together. I also take note, sir, just for the record, that you did submit a plan, an institution progress report, and you have had a number of programs. I do show that you're in some programs at this particular moment. So what programs are you taking at this time? So are you enrolling in programs at this time, sir?
Yes.
What are you enrolled in at this time, sir?
I've been taking several programs here since I've been here in the 89th Amendment. They offered here. They should be on my file.
Yeah, I know they're on your file, but sometimes we just like for you to tell us, because we want to, I don't know how well these programs are working. Are they helping you, or do you feel that they are worth your time and effort? So what's going on, sir? How's the programs working, sir?
They're working on it.
Okay, so which one working the best now? I think you mentioned anger management. So is that one working at this time, sir? Is that helping you at this time, sir?
Yes.
I
do have one for DD. It's a booklet that we read and we answer and we fill in the questions.
Okay.
It's like a personal role.
Yes, sir.
And I've been going through that book and answered the questions myself, and they said, should we read it, answer the questions, and reflect over your answers to help you with your thinking.
Okay, well, we're glad to know that you're enrolled in the program, sir, and that truly makes a difference. You know, and we know that you've been incarcerated for a while, so and to be in these programs, so that whenever, and I like to be positive, whenever you are released, Mr. Baptiste, so that you'll be ready to go out into the real world, although that's not where we're going today, but you're just 57 years of age, therefore you will have an opportunity, because you want to live a long life, so whenever you complete your sentence, you'll be ready to move forward. I also take note that we do have a letter that you refer to stating that your family will be willing to assist you with housing once you are released. And where is your family, sir? Because it got cut off on my thing. What town, what city is your family in, sir?
I'm a member of the Hillary Reservation right down the road in Santa Fe.
Okay.
And I'm sending this on the reservation.
Okay. So you will be on the reservation, okay. And what family members do you have supporting you at this time, sir?
I have 8 brothers and sisters, and all their children, and nieces and nephews, and all their grandchildren. I visit with all of them, and they all want me to go back to the reservation when they get out. Uh-huh. They're all waiting for me.
Well, that's great. When you get out,
since I'm a senior citizen now, the tribe has an elderly program where they'll provide housing for me and medical facility, and they feed me every day now. Since I'm a senior citizen, I get a free meal every day. And I also, they'll have an excellent drug program out there. They call it the Matrix, prescribed by the hospital. I was involved in those classes when I was out there, and I'll continue to take those classes. Plus, every Sunday, we have our AA meetings right there at the hospital. So I went to those as well, and I'll continue to do that out there on the reservation.
Okay, so you're well positioned, so I commend you for that, and I commend the fact that you have a large family, and that the nation, the community also would be there to assist you and to keep you on the right track. I also take note, sir, just based on information that I have observed, that you had no disability within the last 5 years. I believe that unless I missed something, a major discipline that you had would have been back in 1999. If you had a major discipline since 1999, that's 20 years ago. Have you had a major one since then, sir?
Well, I've been
at
this facility where I'm in the center by myself 24/7, so I stay out of trouble.
Okay, I'm glad to know you stay out of trouble, but that's very important for you to stay out of trouble. And I do take note that you have appeared before this board before, and one of the things I would point out now that I want to talk about just a little later, but I want to go through other things that you were denied last year when you came before this board. But information that I see in 14, you were granted general parole, and then it was you had a modification in 2015, and then you were revoked in 2017. I want to come back to that just a little later. Your sentence itself, you had a jury verdict. But I just want to just very briefly, because I don't want to go over too much of this, but I do take note that this sentence started back September 22nd, 1984, down in Casa Grande, when the police was reported about a theft, and the victim told the officers that you had entered her living room and asking her to see somebody, and I believe that you must have been drinking a little bit at that time, and then the person who was there at the house went to the next door and returned to find that her purse was open and that you were looking in her bedroom, her closet, and then you went to the second victim's residence, and this was a male victim that you went, and you used a knife, and with that knife, which is considered to be a weapon, you actually demanded money, and then you took his truck, and the defendant to you was found at a bar, Hill River, and when they found you there, and you actually, I believe you still had the knife with you, and it was at that point that you were arrested And you seem to have been doing quite well, and my colleagues might want to talk with you more about the original offense, the incident offense itself, but I want to talk with you more about the, what happened, sir, more recently. What happened back in 2017 that resulted in your being revoked by this board and by the Department of Corrections? So what was going on there, sir? Because you had been out, you had been doing well, and all of a sudden, you were back in. You had your freedom, sir. You were up there. And as you just told me a few minutes ago, your family was supportive of you. You had brothers and cousins and grandkids and everybody there with you. And then here we are talking to you again. So what happened then, sir, that you were revoked, sir?
I was on the reservation, and they have a good job holder there, so I told them, I'm on parole, I need a job. So they gave me a job, and I worked with a taxi company in South Phoenix. And I started making money, so I got my vehicle, and I was meeting people, so I was giving people rides. And I was in the Hopkins reservation with some people that I didn't really know, but I was just meeting people. And I had a double cab truck. I had just put a down payment on 2 days prior. And I was going to the casino, and I dropped them off. And when I dropped them off at their house, I didn't know that they were using their house for drugs, and that there was an undercover officer sitting right there, and they were watching the house. And when I pulled in front of the house, the people got off. And then I told them I left. When I started leaving, the undercover officers called the police to come chase me down because I was at that known drug house, which I didn't realize was a known drug house. Had I known, I would have never went there. So when I left, the officer pulled over and said, what's your name? And where were you at? And I said, I was at somebody's house. I'm not really sure who they were, but I just dropped them off. And he said, well, they said, search your car, your vehicle. I said, yeah, it's my truck. I'm on parole. I'm going to search it if you want to. And they searched it and found some drugs in the back seat. And the back seat was the little gap in the back part where the people were sitting. They found some drugs there. And I said, well, that ain't mine. I just said, this house is probably theirs. And they said, what house were you at? And I said, I'm not really sure whose house it is, but they told me that it was another drug house. And I said, well, I knew that. If I knew that, I would have never went over. So I said, well, here's my vehicle, and I'm the only one driving it, so I have to take responsibility for it. So I took responsibility for it, regardless if it's mine or not. I'm going to take responsibility because it's my vehicle, and I make a mistake of meeting one of these people in their house and dropping them off and hanging out with them that day. So I told them, well, you know, it ain't nothing to do with it. I'm looking here saying, yeah, it's their drugs, or it's my vehicle, it's my name, and it's in my vehicle. So I'll take responsibility for that. I can't remember these people's names. There was a whole bunch of them. There was some females and some men here. They're from their reservation. So here I am.
So what did you pick these people up at, sir? How did you pick them up, sir, to be in your vehicle?
I was meeting people on the reservation. Everybody's at somebody's house, and they're always asking me for rides, and I was always giving people rides. I was giving my family members rides. They want to go to town. So I was in the habit of, because I was excited to meet people. I've been out there since the 20s, since I was in my 20s, I'm in my 50s now. So I was excited to meet people again and be around the tribal members. And I wasn't really thinking about anything other than the young people, these kids, young people. I wanted to meet more as many people as I can so I can get, to me, I was just kind of, I was excited. And I wanted to become part of the community, and the only way to meet that is just to talk to people. And I didn't realize that this was going on out there, and how it was out there, and how people were out there, until just happened, and I started thinking about it, and it's okay, I made a mistake, and I'm paying for an hour.
Where did you pick them up, where did you pick them up from? They were just out on the streets, or did you pick them up at their house? Where did you get them, how did they get, where did they get in your vehicle from? Where were they?
At the casino, I think.
Oh, they were at the casino?
Yeah, I left the woman there, and there was a lot of travel members there, everybody was there, and I met them, and I met some other friends, and we saw some people, and I just walked up and started talking to people, saying, hey, how you doing? I'm coming in, are you in here? Yeah, are you from here? Yeah, okay, hi. You know, I was just excited, the excitement of being released after so long, and, you know, being on a reservation, and just meeting travel members, I just went up to people and started talking, and said, how are you? My name is, I'm from over here, I'm from where you're from. I just said, you're my dad, you know, because in here, you don't meet nobody. You just see the same people day after day, year after year, and to me, it was being excited. I didn't think about anything other than, I mean, people, they're not criminals. I know they're not, but apparently they were doing stuff they weren't doing, supposed to be doing. And I didn't know this. I didn't think about that. I didn't ask them to say, are you like this? Are you like that? It's different out there now. I didn't realize it till now that stuff's going on out there that wasn't going on out there when I was out there, back in the 80s, when I was like 19, 20.
Now, when the officers showed up, you know, after you had to let them off, these people off at that drug house, and they showed up and the officers came up to your vehicle, to your truck, they pointed out the fact that you were visibly nervous, and that you made no eye contact. Why were you nervous, sir, if you didn't know that any drugs was back there in the back seat? Why would you be nervous, sir? Because if everything was clear, you we had nothing to be nervous about if you didn't know that something was back there illegal. So why were you nervous, sir?
When I was out there every day, I was nervous because I feel like they're going to take me back. Of course, they're going to take me back. I'm institutionalized. So every time I'm around police, I get nervous just for no reason. And I'm like, what's going on? Why are you pulling me over? What did I do? I didn't do nothing. I mean, I'm on parole, but why? You know, it's just weird. Everything, like, was new and everything, and I just don't understand why. I've been pulled over before, and I tell them, look, I'm not drinking, I'm not doing anything, I'm just driving down the road. Why are you pulling me over? And then I tell them, I'm on parole. I'm for nothing.
Are you sure that methamphetamine, you sure that you weren't trying to sell that yourself, sir?
No, I'm not alcoholic. That's all I want to do, but that's why I go to AA. But I'm not going to drink them. I'm so old now.
Yeah, but we have old people much older than you are. We're just 57. We have people much older than you are who come before us, and they still use, methamphetamine and cocaine and heroin and everything else. So you were not using and you were not selling it. It just happened to have been in the back of your truck because you had these people riding with you, sir.
Yeah, I had just bought the truck 2 days before I put a down payment on it for work. And I knew I had to start making monthly payments. That's why I had the job. That's what I got to race for my job. So I worked with all of them in Phoenix, Scottsdale, Cassidy, South Phoenix, and all over the reservation. So I was using one of my nephew's trucks, but I told him I need my own vehicle. So I could, and once I saved up a little bit, I put a down payment on that truck for my work. That was the reason I got it, and I was excited, and I only had it 2 days, so I was thinking around trying to get used to it. And I had insurance, I had everything for it that I needed to have.
Maybe you didn't at the time, but I guess now you recognize the fact that inasmuch as that was your truck and the drugs was found in your truck, that you were responsible for whatever, legally, you were responsible for whatever was in there. No one else was in your truck at the time because we had dropped these people off at some truck house. So as you stated before, it just fell on you. So you were just, if what you said is correct, so you So you just made a big mistake, sir. You had that drug back there, you know, and weighed, what, 3.8 grams of methamphetamine, these bags, and paraphernalia and all of that in that vehicle. And but the vehicle was, you never denied that it was your vehicle, and you never denied that you were driving the vehicle. But what I don't understand, sir, and then I'll stop this and let some other board members talk to you. What I don't understand is, sir, why would you, as you said, you was in your 50s at that time, and you had spent all that time incarcerated, why would you even make a mistake? I mean, you had your freedom, sir. And this board had granted you your freedom, sir. And why would you make a mistake like that, sir? That's what I cannot comprehend, not only with you, but with others. You know, as a board member, I would have been on this board. I don't know whether I was president that day, but I would have been on this board in 2014 when you came before this board. I just got on the board at that time. I was definitely on the board when we modified your sentence in 2015, and of course, you were revoked. So I'm just trying to figure, why would you jeopardize your freedom? I know you were happy to have your truck, happy to have a job, doing well, out of the reservation, going around to the casino and so forth, and coming in contact with people that you did not know. You didn't know whether I know that on the reservation, it's kind of like a family situation, but you didn't know these people, and whether they had drugs or not, they could have had a gun, they could have had a knife or anything, and you said, come on, get in my vehicle, and I'll take you wherever you want to go, and you took them to a drug house. So I just don't understand why, if you have your freedom, why would you do something like that, sir?
When I first got arrested, I was like I said, in my early 20s, and I lived all my life on the reservation. I grew up on the reservation. I know everybody out there. They didn't have no drug houses out there like I guess they have now. Back then, when I was growing up, I knew everybody out there, and I focused on everybody hanging out together, all those young guys, and there was none of this out there. So in my mind, I was in my 20s when I got arrested. I got out in my 50s. In my mind, it was still the same reservation that I had left. And I didn't think there was drug houses out there. I didn't think there was these people doing these things out there on the reservation. I stayed on the reservation, and I went around the reservation, and I didn't have no problems till this. And I didn't know this was out there until this happened to me. And I was like, whoa, what's going on here? And then they told me. And I said, what? Are you serious? On the reservation? They have this on the reservation? In my mind, I was like kind of shocked because, like I said, I didn't know this was out there on the reservation. You don't see this type of stuff out there. When I was out there in my 20s, I never saw this, and this wasn't out there, and this wasn't an issue. But apparently now it is, and I didn't know this until I came across these.
Let me just ask another question, sir, for time management, and then I will go to my other distinguished board members. Now, you were revoked back in October of 2017, which is about a year and a half ago when you were actually revoked. What have you done that would justify this board releasing you again? What has taken place? How are you different? What would you do different, sir, if you were back out on the streets, sir? Whether it was home arrest or parole, what would you do different now, sir?
I'm going to get back involved with the Matrix, the drug program over there, and go to the AA. I'm going to get, well, right now that I'm a senior citizen, I can go into the elderly housing program and provide for me housing and the family every day. Plus, I'm a diabetic. I have severe arthritis, my left arm don't work, I'm supposed to have surgery on this, so I'm taking care of. And so I have a lot of medical other issues that I need to address, so I probably spend the rest of my, but every time I left at the hospital, I haven't done take care of me on the reservation. I'm going to stay there, and I'm not going to be running around like I was, because I realize now that it's not like back in the 80s when I was a young man. is different out there, and I don't know what people are doing out there. Since this is going on, I'm just gonna be around my family and do my programs and go to school or work. They tried as an excellent employment office that I went to, and they told me, if you need another job, just come see us and we'll give you another job. So I could do that too.
Okay, sir, I'm going to yield to other board members who might have some questions or discussion for you at this time, and this can range anywhere from the incident offense up until this point. So board members, discussion for Mr. Baptiste, questions? Okay, I don't see any questions for you, sir. Is there anyone in the room who seemed to support Mr. Baptiste? No one is in the room. Is there any victims in the room to speak? I don't see any in the room to speak at this time. Sir, we're coming towards the end of your hearing. This is your hearing. Therefore, we want to give you an opportunity to make a final statement to the board before the board goes into discussion and make a decision, sir. So what else you want to tell the board without repeating yourself? Please don't repeat anything that you already told us, but anything else you want to tell us, we're prepared to listen at this time, sir.
I'm going to get on my programs and get on my family and just stay positive and be more aware of my surroundings and appreciate the board taking the opportunity to listen to me and help me in this vision of my parole. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so very much, sir. At this time, the board is preparing to go into discussion, and you may or may not remember that for protocol purposes here, what we do, we operate under the open meeting law, so therefore we ask that you remain just sitting there and listen, because you can hear everything that we say. We don't go into a closet. We don't go into another room. When we make our decision, when we have our discussion, we do everything in public in keeping with the open meeting laws of the state of Arizona. Therefore, at this time, the board is going into discussion. We're going to ask that you remain quiet. And following this discussion, a motion will be made and whether to continue you incarcerated or to release you, not to release you, but to move you to your next consecutive sentence. So at this time, board members, we're in discussion. I find that Mr. Baptiste is a very interesting individual. He articulates quite well. He says that he's a senior citizen now, but he's just 57. I guess that could be considered as being a senior citizen, but I'm not sure whether he is or not. But he feels that he's more mature now. I think that I think that we've gone over basically what happened, and I have no reason to believe that he's misleading us, but I am concerned that he was out, he had his freedom, and he picked up these people, although they were from his community, and they got in his car, and when they departed from his car, they left, or his vehicle, they left their drugs behind. You know, if you have drugs, if they were selling drugs, I don't think they would have left them behind unless they expected to get back in that car, that vehicle again, and if they were just using, I think they would have kept that drugs with them, and since they were going to a drug house. So that's why I find myself still on the limb as it relates to Mr. Baptiste. The other thing that I would just point out, and I'm just speaking as one board member, and not on behalf of the board, he's only been, I know for him it seems like forever, but he's been incarcerated for only about about a year and a half, and I would like to see him just a little longer to see if he's going to remain crime-free while he's institutionalized and before moving him to his next consecutive sentence. That's just one board member. I'm prepared to listen to other board members at this time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. And I'm going to offer a motion. My motion is going to be based upon information that's contained in his warrant, as well as the testimony that's provided. And I would point out the fact that we do not have any letters of support from his family. By the same token, we don't have any opposition letters in COVID, but my motion is going to be to deny for 12B and 411 in as much as he did violate and he was revoked back in October of 2017. And that is my motion to deny.
Second.
Agreed.
Motion by myself, C.T. Wright, to deny, seconded by the Honorable Mr. Kiwanis, agreed by the Honorable Mr. Neal. I'm going to request a 12-month set-off based on the date of this crime and the type of denial. Release denial would be that of 412B, 411, which I would check. Reason for denial, and then I'll go back to the original offense itself, as well as we have to move forward. There was the loss, no, that was not the loss of human life, but there was serious and deviant offense that did take place. I believe that there was trauma to the victim in this much that person, that female, she had to leave and go, that was related to another victim. There was some injury because he did pull his knife, and there were multiple victims. I would point out the fact that from my perspective, there is no family or community support at this time, and based upon what he said, he is taking some programming in, and therefore I'm not going to put that one in there. And that's what I'm going to include. If there's anything else that any board member wishes to include that I did not. Mr. Baptiste, you heard what the board has done. Do I need to repeat the reason for denying your move to your next consecutive sentence of absolute disjoint, sir?
I just want to ask, what do you want me to do so I can get my role on the next time I come in? Because last time I came, you guys said I was going to give it to me this time, but now you're saying you're denying it again. So what?
Look, sir, this board should not have said that they were going to give it to you this time. This board cannot tell you anything. You have to make that decision yourself by working with your CO3, doing as much reading and so forth as you can, because you don't even know, we don't even know, let me put it that way. We don't even know whether will be the same one of us who might be there. There may be some new board members. But to answer your question, we cannot tell you what to do. The only thing we tell you is to remain crime-free, stay out of trouble, do as much as you can to prepare yourself to come before this board. But there is never, and I'm going to use the word never, my distinguished colleagues may disagree with me, but there is never a time that we will guarantee you in front that you will be released or anyone else will be released, because we do that only during our discussion and when we prepare for a crime. So you prepare for it and reflect on what you did back in 2014 when you were released, and do the best you can. And we wish you the best, sir. And this is going to end your hearing. And please put the CO3 back on the phone, sir. Thank you so very much for your participation.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.